I made a serious mistake with my schedule. And I was supposed to be here later, and I must have caused some difficulty. So please excuse me. If I could just say, you know, a short word that maybe ties into many of the questions that I saw that were submitted. There's a pasuk that we say, a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. We mentioned it on Rosh Hashanah in Shmoneh Esra. Koyo amar Hashem, zocharti lo chesed no raich. So the Rabbeinu Shalom says, I remember the favor that you did to me, the chesed, the kindness that you did to me when you were young. Ahavas klulasayach, when we were just wedded together, means at the time of Matan Torah. What was the chesed that you did? Lachtecha charai b'amidbar be'eretz loy zeruah. You followed me in the desert. You didn't know how you're going to be sustained, but you trusted the Rabbeinu Shel Olam that he'll take care of you. If he asks you to come, he's going to take care of you. I would like to ask you a question, and in my mind, a very serious question. The word chesed, what does chesed mean? A kindness. How do you define kindness? What does kindness mean? Somebody is lacking something, and let's say they need food, they're traveling and they need a place to stay, they need a place to sleep, they need an encouraging word, they need a loving word. That means that somebody is lacking something, somebody needs something, and you give them that kindness, you show them that kindness. How are you allowed to talk about the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and use that word chesed? There's nothing that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam needs. He doesn't need anything. He's perfect and doesn't need anything. I'm asking you a serious question. So how could you use the word chesed that the Radak says chesed noraich means the chesed that we showed the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, not that he showed us, but that we showed the Rabbeinu Shel Olam? How is there such a thing as chesed? It's, you know, if you would ask somebody, you did the Rabbeinu Shel Olam a chesed, it sounds like it's apikursis. You can't show the Rabbeinu Shel Olam kindness where he doesn't need anything. And there's one thing that I'd like to answer that question. There's one thing that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam can't do. At least can't do, because when he created the world, there's a way that he wanted it to run, and he doesn't want to change that, and therefore he can't do. We have free choice, free will. There's free will. There's a bechira chofshis. Everybody is given a chance in life. He's shown good and bad, good and evil. And Reinosati lifnechem hayoim brocha uklola. I've given you both. I've shown you what both are. And I plead with you, ubacharto b'chaim. Choose life. Choose what leads to what I consider to be true life. And following the path of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, living a life of Torah and mitzvahs. That's what the Rabbeinu Shel Olam wants. But he won't force anybody. He won't force us. But the Rabbeinu Shel Olam wants the world to know, certainly Klal Yisrael to know, but the world to know that there's a Rabbeinu Shel Olam. There's a master of the universe. There's a master, somebody who created the world, and he wants us to know that there's a Rabbeinu Shel Olam. We, Klal Yisrael, have a mission. That's our mission. That's the mission of Klal Yisrael. That's our destiny. We have a mission to show a world what an elevated people look like, a people who follow the ways of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam in Torah and mitzvahs. Bein Odom Lamokom, Bein Odom Lachaveroi. When they see a person who instead of running after everything that, you know, sort of their heart desires, wants to grow as a person, become a more elevated person, and lives that kind of a life, follows the what the Torah, the lessons that you learn from learning Torah, how to build your relationship to the Ribbono Shel Olam, how to build your character, and emulate the Ribbono Shel Olam's ways. In that way, that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants from us. We're his partners. That's why we're called in Chazal Ta'imasi. We're partners of the Ribbono Shel Olam. He created a world, and we have to show a world what an elevated life looks like, what a ruchniyusdika life looks like. That's our job, that's our mission, and that's our goal. He can't do that. That's one thing he can't do, the Ribbono Shel Olam. He didn't want it to be a world like that where he forces. He wanted man Yisrael, to do that. And that's our mission. That's our goal. To Mekadesh Shem Shamayim, you know, to show what an elevated person can be. This morning, I was talking to two sisters who came to my office, and they wanted to talk about their relationship with their parents. And it's a very, very difficult one. Very difficult. Their parents are difficult. Maybe no fault of theirs. It's the way they grew up. But it's a very difficult relationship. And to a certain degree, you know, they were talking about not getting anything from their parents. When I say getting, I don't mean money or place to live. Warmth, love, affection is what they want, but which everybody desires, which is so necessary for the health of a person. And they just don't get it. And from their parents, I don't think that the parents know how to do it. They don't know. They were never trained, don't know, never worked on it, so they don't know. And I was just talking about, but you're mature people right now. You're adults. Sometimes you have to do something even if it's not fair. First of all, your parents brought you to this world and they sustained you. And that in itself is the biggest taiva. But even if right now you're not getting anything and it hurts and it's painful, you know, a child is a child. You can be 80 years old and your parent is 100 years old. I still remember my mother, Zichrono Livracha, she was 97 at the time. And if she would tell me a good word, I was already a great-grandfather at that time. And if my mother would tell me something nice about myself, it felt good. You know, like, Yaakov, you can get over it. You're an old man already, you know. So why? A mother is a mother. And when your mother tells you something good, it feels good. It feels good, and it makes a person, it's fuel for a person to continue and to go, you know, to go on in life and do good things. But sometimes you don't get that. And if you don't get it, but is it fair? That's what an elevated person does. Sometimes you have to give and you don't get anything in return, but that's what a big person is. That's what a big person is. Our life is, our purpose in life and our mission in life is to live an elevated, you know, an elevated life, a ruchniyusdika life. So one question, I'm just using it as an example, but it's a small question, but there's a lot. Somebody asked the question here, at the end of davening, if the rabbi is making an announcement, or the president makes an announcement, or whoever it is in the shul that makes the announcements, can I learn at the time? Can I learn at the time that he's making an announcement? In shul announcements are made after davening on Shabbos. regarding community matters. Is it appropriate to sit and learn during this time? Does it make a difference if it's the Rav speaking, the shul president, or a member, you know, with an announcement? Try to think of yourself as being the president or being the Rav, whoever it is that's making an announcement, and somebody sort of is ignoring you. He, you know, I don't want to listen to this stuff. What do I have to listen to this for? I have better things, more important things to do. I'm learning Torah. Be a mensch. You know, show kavod to another human being. The Rav is a human being also, and the president is a human being. He stands up and he wants to. Somebody's a president here. He goes out of his way to try to help a shul and do something. Show a cover to another human being. That's cover. That's what the Rabban Yishlam wants. If you don't necessarily have to listen to the announcements, make believe you're listening to them. You know, make believe you're listening to an announcement. I still remember reading once about the Chazon Ish. He was at a wedding, and it was towards the end of the wedding, and there was somebody. He was a mishuganer, you know, and he got up on a table and he started giving a drosha. And everybody ignored him. And the Chazon Ish is sitting at the table. You know, he goes like this, and he's looking up at the person, and he's listening to him intently. You know, was he listening? He made believe he was listening. You know, the person was not talking; he was babbling. But he showed him. You know, he showed him kavod. Just because he's a person who's a shaita, you can't show the shaita kavod and make him feel good. That's what we're here for. That's our purpose. That's our purpose. What I mean to say is that's what the Torah is supposed to teach us. So you learn the Torah, and the Torah is paramount, but there are lessons that are learned from the Torah, and you have to learn and have to know how to apply those wisely. Wisely, you know. Sometimes it's difficult to know exactly how to apply them, when to apply them, when not to apply them. You live in a community. I don't know it that well, but I know it a little. I know some of the rabbanim in the community. But, you know, you have, as we have in Baltimore, you know, we have different shuls, and there are different constituencies in the shul, and there are different rabbanim in the shuls, and different people have different ideas and different hashkafas. Not everybody has the same hashkafa as the other. And there's an issue. You want to keep peace in a community. And peace and shalom is paramount. At the same time, there are principles. And you have to know how to apply them, when to apply them. And that's some of the most difficult things. Anybody that's an ish hatzibur, is a communal person, it's so difficult to know exactly when to apply what and how to apply it. After Korach, after the people of Korach's machane, you know, the Adas Korach, they were killed. They were swallowed up in the ground. Klal Yisrael comes to Moshe Rabbeinu and they say, Atem hamitem es am Hashem. You killed your people. You killed your people. Who did that? They or the Rabbeinu Shel Olam by creating, you know, this hole in the ground that was there, Misheshes Yimei Bereshis. Who did it? But they were saying, all of a sudden you changed colors, Moshe Rabbeinu. You were always our defender. You were what is referred to in Chazal, Moshe Rabbeinu was the Raya Mehemna, the ultimate shepherd. He was the shepherd of Klal Yisrael. And here, he created a machlokes with Korach. And he had to be proven. You're somebody new. You're not our defender. And you were the cause of this happening. Now, he had to do it, and I don't want to go into the whole, you know, reason for it, but Moshe Rabbeinu had to do that for the good of Klal Yisrael, for saving, you know, what Klal Yisrael was going to be. But what I'm just trying to say is how and when you do those things are, it's a kunz, it's a trick. It needs an enormous amount of chokhmah, but you have to know that that shalom is something that is so important and for a community to exist and leimotzei kodesh baruch hu kli machzik brocha ala hashalom. You know, the issue that's going on in Eretz Yisrael right now with the draft is a very difficult issue. A difficult issue. Many people, or I would use the word most people, who are not people that I would call B'nai Torah, you know, have a great difficulty understanding what's happening. We send our sons, or the sons themselves, go to the armory, put their life in danger, and are fighting and doing, you know, for the benefit of their brethren. And here you choose not to do that. You choose not to do that. And it doesn't resonate, and it causes, in truth, with a lot of people, it causes a lot of sin. It causes hatred. And it's the last thing that we want to do. The last thing that we want to do is cause polarization and cause, you know, people to hate a frum yid, a charedi Jew. It's not what we want. And we try to do everything possible. I'm talking about trying to think of them and trying to think of their needs and, you know, the chasodim that we can and do. I'm just using this as an example. You have a general in the army. You have a chief of staff, and you have generals and lieutenant generals and colonels in the army. Where are they? Where are they? They're in the Kiryat, you know, in Tel Aviv, in the defense, you know, that's where the head of the, you know, the army is, in Tel Aviv, outside of Tel Aviv. You sit on your easy chair, and I'm in Gaza, fighting and putting my life in danger, and you go home at night. You, the head of the army, why don't you fight with us? Fight with us and endanger your life. What's the answer to that question? All the people that are involved in security and in, you know, cyber security and all kinds of, you know, I don't know what the organization's called in Eretz Yisrael, the NSA people, you know, as here. They go home at night because they're not fighting in the front. But why? Because every army needs different kinds of people. You need different kinds of people. And you need somebody who's going to be shooting an Uzi, and you need somebody who's a pilot, and you need, you know, mechanics who service the planes, and you need somebody who thinks of a strategy of how to run an army and how, where to send them and what to do. You need both. And at the end of the day, the chief of staff is more important as an individual than you know, the singular soldier. Not that they're not very, very important both, but you have to understand that one person has to be the brains behind everything that's happening. That's the way it is. Anybody that has open eyes, anybody, if you look at what has happened in the last, I don't know, 30 years, 30 years, and take a look at how many tens of thousands of mortar shells, missiles, have been sent at Eretz Yisrael. Okay? How many korbanos were there? I'm not talking about what happened on October 7th, but I'm talking about when they rain these missiles and mortar shells onto, you know, the populace of Eretz Yisrael, the cities, and the towns, and the kibbutzim, the moshavim. Do you know over the years how many people were killed or even hurt?
About a thousand deaths.
30 years.
About this war?
No, I'm not. That's what I said. No, I'm talking about over the last 30 years when I said outside of October 7th. That's what I meant. I think I said that, if I'm not mistaken. It's not normal that you don't have, that you didn't have so many, there should have been thousands of korbanos, b'derech hateva. I still remember during the war, in the Iraqi war, you know, in when it was in 92, they send how many scuds to Eretz Yisrael? There was one person that was killed, one person. They send hundreds of them. They sent one to Saudi Arabia. Iraq sent one to Saudi Arabia to an American base, and there were about 70 soldiers that were killed. Just the one time that they sent, it happened. There's no way in the world, if you're willing to look at it, you know, with open eyes, that you don't see the Yad Hashem, that the Rabbeinu Shalom, that he has rachmanis on his people, on his children. There's, if you're just willing to have open eyes, you have to see that there's a special hashgacha that the Rabbeinu Shalom has for his people. What causes that to happen? What causes that to happen? And I'm just saying, this is the hashgacha of Chazal very clearly, what Limud HaTorah does for Klal Yisrael. What Limud HaTorah does for Klal Yisrael, and that there are people that immerse themselves in the Rabbeinu Shalom's Torah, in the Rabbeinu Shalom's holiness, in the Rabbeinu Shalom's Chochmah, that is something that is a protection for our people. So you have a Ramatkal, you have a chief of staff, and these are a bunch of chiefs of staffs. I'm just telling you that if you want the Rabbeinu Shalom to look kindly at us, which he has, and at all of the wars, you know, at the end of the day, they were successful. There's a reason for it. It's not just because we have smarter soldiers, we have better soldiers, and we have a better army. It's not at the Rabbeinu Shalom. We found favor in the eyes of the Rabbeinu Shalom. We're his children. Bonim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. And he deals with us differently, and we have to make him do that and cause him to want to do that. And that's what that is. Now, I just want to say I'm being very open, and this is, you know, a difficult, they're very, very difficult questions. But there are a lot of people who are not learning, and yet they don't go to the army. They don't go to the army. You know, as they say in English, c'est pas fair. It's not fair, you know. It's not fair. We're willing to sacrifice and you're not. And I just want to say something about that. It causes pain, a lot of pain. But I'm asking you, I'm sitting here in front of many people who are all of you are afrum yidden, ashamre Torah u'mitzvos. Okay? Let me just say this. I think I would give anything in my life, if I could, that my child stay ashamre Torah u'mitzvos. I would give anything. Every last penny that I have, I would give, you know, to see to it, if that was what the question was, that my son or daughter, you know, stay Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. You know, the Rabbi Shom shall help. I shouldn't have to come to something like that. But I'm just saying that's our life. That's our life, and that's everything that we would give. We would give everything for it. You know, there's an expression in the Gemara, and I'm just answering one of the questions here, and one of, you know, it's a difficult question, and I'd like to answer that question. There's an expression in the Gemara, Ma yasa haben shelo yechta. If you raise your child, and your child, the place that you raise him is outside of a brothel, and that's where he is, and that's where he grows up. You want him not to associate there with those people. Ma yasa haben shelo yechta. And you have to understand, you know, the question is, if we're raising from children, hopefully, if that's what we're doing, why can't they withstand the temptations that there are when, you know, when you send your child to the army, right? I want to tell you, if you look, I really don't want to get into it right now, but if you look at the statistics of even the soldiers that are in the Hesder Yeshiva, that, right, we're, you know, they learn, and they part-time learning, and part-time they serve in the army during that period of time, three-year period. If you would see the statistics of how many of them, when at the end of that period, are no longer frum, it's quite shocking. And it's not because the system is not a good system. It's not what I mean. Mayasa haben shelo yechta. Mayasa haben shelo yechta. So, does it look good? No. Does it look good? What does it look like? It looks like you fight, you do, and you know, we want to sit back and enjoy our life. That's what it looks like, and it causes pain, because that's not the message that we want to send to people, and it's not true. But at the end of the day, I'm just telling you, it's true. The situation is a true one. If there could be some kind of a situation where those temptations could be avoided, and I'm not talking about those who are learning, but the ones who are not, and we could have some kind of a situation like that, that would be completely different. At this point, there is no such thing yet. Right now, there is no such thing. And I'm saying again, to me, at least, I want to tell you, you can accuse me. I'm what's called a Zionist. Okay, I have a great love for Eretz Yisrael. I was a Talmid of Lakewood Yeshiva, part of most of my adult life. When I was married for a year or two, and I tried to see if we could get a whole bunch of Yungalite Avrechim to go and start a moshav in Eretz Yisrael, where we would learn a half a day, and you know, we would work the fields a half a day. I just didn't get too far. At the end of the day, I'm not so sure. But at the same time, I would like to use it, a kosher Zionist, but I just say it's a difficult problem, and it causes a lot of pain. But what I'm saying, I think, is the truth. And there's a mayasa haben shelo yachto. If you know, we live, and I don't have to tell you. You know as much as I do. We live in difficult times. I'm talking about raising children, and keeping our children, you know, with an idealism and an inner strength to withstand nisyonos. It's difficult. It's difficult, and that's why at the end of the day, to the Rebbeinu Shlalom, it's even more rewarding. And the hestaponim is so great in today. That was the klola that the Rebbeinu Shlalom says as the golus. As the golus continues, it just becomes a greater hester upon him, and then if you still withstand, then you know schorchem harbe meoid. It's even greater. I don't know if your shuls have anything of the sort, but in St. Louis, but many shuls in different communities. I just want to use an example of something that, you know, a question that was asked. You daven mincha, you come together and daven mincha in shul, right? And then the Rav sometimes will give a shir for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and learn Mishnayis or learn Chaye Adam or whatever it is, okay? And you are a learned person. You're a Talmud Chochem. You're a learned person. Okay? And that's a very simple shir that he gives, because the people maybe that are sitting there are not that knowledgeable. Okay? So I say to myself, you know, I who learned in yeshiva, I who maybe learned in the kollel for a little while, that's not for me this year. Okay? That's not for me. Try to think to yourself. Here, I could sit down. You know, they know me to be, when I say me, I'm not talking about Yaakov Hapfer, just because I have a different position, but I'm just talking about somebody, you know, who is a yeshiva person, and he thinks to, you know, he tells himself, I sit down together with other people, with other balabatim, together, and who are not as learned as I am, and we're learning together from the Rav. Okay? He's the Rav of this shul. He's our Rav. So what did I do? I encouraged the balabatim. I encouraged the Rav. You know, it feels good to have people who sit at Yashir who are knowledgeable, who are Talmid HaChachamim. It's a chesed. So if you want to be a big masmid tonight, you'll stay up another 5 minutes or another hour, and you'll be a big masmid. Do a taiva. You know, do it. Think of your actions. Think of what your actions can do. And you know, that's what the Rebbeinu Shalom wants. That's what the Torah wants of us. And I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you a challenging question. It sounds like I'm changing the subject. I'm going to ask you a very challenging question. And this is a question that bothered me for years. I'm telling you, this question, I thought about it many times, and I just never felt that I had a satisfying answer. We have mitzvahs. Choose a mitzvah, a random mitzvah that we do. Shabbos. Okay, Shabbos. So there's a mitzvah asay of doing, of remembering that today is Shabbos by making Kiddush, right? And then the Torah says, guard Shabbos, shamar es yom haShabbos, by not doing the malachas, right? There's an asay and a loisasa. There are certain times, so all of us, we live in a free society, And we can keep Shabbos. The Rabbi Shalom gave us a mitzvah. Maybe sometimes there's no wine. Okay, you can't find it. So you make Kiddush, you can make Kiddush on challah. But even if you didn't have challah, but those are circumstances. But the Rabbi Shalom gives you a mitzvah. He says, Kiddush, keep Shabbos. He gives you that mitzvah, you can do it. He says, eat matzah on Pesach, sit in a sukkah on Sukkos. If you're in a gulag, you can't do it. But under normal circumstances, we have the ability to be mekayim the mitzvah, right? He gave us a mitzvah. The only exceptions to those are the mitzvahs that have to do with Kedushas Haaretz, with the Beis HaMikdash, and the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael. But that has to do because we're Mirzen and Shuldik. You know, we're at fault here. We caused there to be a destruction of a Beis HaMikdash, and we're in Golis. Mipnei Chatoeinu, Golinu, Me'artzeinu. But every mitzvah that the Rebbeinu Shalom gave, you have normally, he never took away the ability to do the mitzvah. I know one mitzvah that's an exception. Anybody? I'm sorry? I couldn't hear you.
Pesach Sheni?
Well, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Yeah, but that's because we created a situation that there is no Beis HaMikdash. But I'm talking about a mitzvah that is here. We have the ability to do, and the Rabbeinu Shalom, for some reason or other, in his infinite wisdom, took away our ability to do it. Which is what? Yovel is totally in all of Klal Yisrael, or Rav of Klal Yisrael, Rav of each Shevet being in Eretz Yisrael. Shemitah, but first say Shemitah, right? And Yovel is part of the Shemitah, but the only one that I know is Tcheles. Which is what Rabbi Berkowitz.
Which I only know because I heard a different shir from Rabbi Hafer on a recording where Rabbi Hafer shared that.
Oh, okay. Tcheles. For some reason or other, the Hashgocha El Yoina had it that we don't know where Tcheles is. We don't know Tcheles. I know there are others that, but for now, for 1,500 years or whatever it is, we don't have Tcheles. Why? Why did the Rebbeinu Shalom take away our ability to do mitzvahs Tcheles? I'm asking you, I think, a challenging question. And it's a question that bothered me for years. And I would like to offer an answer to that question. We wear tzitzis. It says in the Torah, "Ureisem oisoy, uzachartem es kol mitzvos Hashem." You'll see tzitzis, and you'll remember all of the mitzvos. I'm asking you a simple question. Just explain that. I see tzitzis, and I'm going to remember. Therefore, it's going to challenge me to remember all of the mitzvahs. Why? I'm not asking anything sophisticated. I just want to know what it says in the Chumash. Re'isem oisoyu zachartem es kol mitzvos Hashem. L'kisei HaKavod. Chazal do say that. But it's not the simple pshat in the pasuk. There's no remez to that, and the, you know, what he's saying is a gemara that when you see this color, right, you see the color of tcheles, it reminds you of the yam, the color of the sea, and then you see that and you associate the color of the sea with the color of the rokia. And then the color, it causes you, your mind, to go from one place to another, and you count the Kisei HaKavod. And then you see the Kisei HaKavod, which, by the way, I just want to say, somebody once asked Rav Dessler, I don't know, I see tzitzis and it doesn't cause me to think about the Kisei HaKavod. So listen to his answer. Yes.
I was going to say, psychologically, you can assign a meaning or a zikaron to anything. And so Chazal said, when the Torah says, when you see the tzitzis, that is what is going to be the zikaron for you.
Why?
For Hashem. You know what I mean? Why did they do that?
Not to do it. The Rabbeinu Shlom did that?
Yeah, the Torah says so.
It says, and therefore you will remember. If you look at it, you will remember. Why? I'm just asking. Now, somebody, you know, the Gemara says that you're not, if there's a woman that hangs up her colored, you know, brightly colored clothing on the wash line, you're not supposed to be mistaken on that. Think about it. Because you associate one thing with another. You see a dress and a human being's mind therefore goes and associates that, then you start thinking of the woman, and that's not a right thing, okay? So you're not supposed to be mistaken by Bigdei Tzivonim. So Rav Dessler says, Favos fashteis to dos yeh. Why do you understand that? That you understand. He says, it depends where your mind is. You know, where your mind is. If your mind is in ruchnizdik things, then you'll associate. But if your mind is on other things, then that's what you associate with. But I just want to say, what you said was correct. It says that in Chazal, but it's not the simple understanding. There's a Gemara in Menachos. There's a Gemara in Menachos. The Gemara says in Menachos, that tzitzis, you know, you ever see, people have a jacket, right? And it says on it, what does it say on it? St. Orioles. You're the St. Louis Cardinals. I'm sorry, how could I forget?
Okay.
Okay, right. So what does that mean when it says Cardinals on it? Or on the back. I identify. That's where I identify. That's what it means. It says Yankees on it. You know, I identify. In the Torah's time, in the Gemara's time, an Eved, if you learn Masechta Shabbos, you'll see they're talking about going out with that on Shabbos. They used to put on an Eved's cloak. There was a sign that he was an Eved. He belonged, he was indentured to somebody, to his master. There's a sign of avdus. Tzitzis are not because they're beautiful that I have tzitzis on them. That's my sign that I'm an Eved. There's a creator, and I am his servant. I'm here to serve him. And that's what it means. Re'isem o'isoy z'chartem is kol mitzvos Hashem. I have a sign of avdus in front of me a whole day. I don't have to remember by opening a sefer. I don't have to remember. I see it in front of me. That's my function. That's my tafkid. That's my purpose. Okay? It's a sign of avdus. It's clear in the Gemara Menachos that that's what tzitzis are. They're a sign of avdus. Okay? Have any of you ever been to Buckingham Palace? Anybody see Change of the Guard? You saw it? Okay. What are they called?
Beef eaters.
I'm sorry?
Beef eaters. That's what they're called.
I know, but they are royal servants. They're royal servants. Okay. What does it mean? You stand at... You know, and you're erect and you stand and you wear your red blazer and your shtreimel and you stand there to protect the queen, to protect the king, whoever it is. And any one of them who was a royal servant, after he retires from that, you know, you can only be there for a certain age. He'll get any kind of a job. You can't imagine what kind of a covet it is to be a royal servant of the king or queen. That's the way it is. Okay? There's two parts to tzitzis. There's two parts to tzitzis. There's what Chazal referred to in the Mishnah, there's tcheles and there's lovon. There's just the white strings, which is the only thing that we have, which identify us as being avodim. And we have then something different as well. Another thing. I shouldn't say different, but an added thing. We have tcheles. Why is it called, you know what tcheles in the translation is called? Royal blue. Or there's a royal servant. Why are they called royal? The tcheles is called royal blue. It says, Mordechai yotza milifnei ha-melech bilavush. He went out with tcheles. That's a sign of royalty, that color. That's what they wore. Besides being servants that have to do his will, we're royal servants, meaning to say we protect the honor of the king. That's our function. That's our job. And do you know what kind of a covet that is? For Klal Yisrael to be royal servants of the Rabban Shalom. That's our tafkid. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. To see from our actions, what we do, how what the Rabban Shalom, who gave us a Torah, it's his chokhmah, what kind of a life you can live. And that's because we're given a life of Torah mitzvahs. You see how he treats his wife. You see how he treats other people. You see his honesty, you see his integrity, you see all of that because he learned Torah and he learned its lessons that the Torah tries to teach us. That's what it is. And we're royal servants. Nebuch, we've to a certain degree lost that. You know, that part of royal servants, you know, the whole nation as a nation, we haven't followed, and that's why the Rabban Shlalem and his Chochmah and his Hashgacha, we just don't have tcheles. But individuals and a community can be royal servants. And you're here for a purpose, to be mechazek yourself. Your community in St. Louis is known and renowned. You know, it's wonderful. It's wonderful what you're doing. So even if the whole klal is not like that, they're a bunch of shelp, they should be soon. And you love your sisters, but we have a tafkid, and somebody who learns Torah and somebody who has mitzvahs should know them. You know them and. And you could have communities and yechidim that can be royal servants of the Rabban Shalom. And Rabban Shalom should help that, you know, at the beginning of our year, you want to know what to do, what to be makabel. We should be royal servants of the Rabban Shalom. People should look at us that way and be makadosh Shem Shamayim.
You again to the Rav. We're in a tight schedule. We're going to be driving now to suburban World Doctor Astaya with Rabbi Silver and Rabbi Gross. Followed that, we will return here.
Yeah.